Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Stephen Godfrey, he was on the show last year, a good friend of the show, great college football writer, good journalist, and he's off to a new venture now, and he joins us in studio. We're going to have Stephen in studio with us for the next hour. Phone lines open if you want to jump in, 615-737-1045. Stephen, thanks so much for popping back in, man. It's always good talking some ball with you.
Always glad to be here.
So tell us about the website
Yes. And
the new venture, because you were with SB Nation.
Yeah.
A lot of people I know follow you on Twitter for college football news. And you're kind of taking this into a new direction, kind of the same direction, but a new direction also.
Yeah, I'm laughing in studio because the only thing I can tell you is to continue to check out afootballwebsite.com. And I know this sounds like a really coy, cool viral marketing campaign, which is definitely what we would like it to be. But it's also like we still have to hear back from the lawyers on a bunch of stuff. So.
This is life in general. We all have to hear back from lawyers
and
stuff.
Yeah, just imagine, submitting that paper in college extremely late, as I did for most of the 6 years that I went to a prestigious university in Mississippi. So we'll get it done. We'll be there August 1st, afootballwebsite.com. So, it sounds cool, but I can tell you, if you listen to my podcast Ain't Played Nobody, it will be there. The group from Shutdown Fullcast will be there. If you've ever read Every Day Should Be Saturday, that is sort of culturally migrating over. Sounds like I'm on PBS right now.
This is free air. What is this show?
This is about.
We got to talk a lot slower and a lot. Yeah.
I've done those before where they put you in the dark booth and everything sounds very calm.
Yes.
Most sports talk, you're screaming to get things out.
Tell
as fast
us about
as possible.
The South.
Yes. I did that. Well, actually, when I was promoting the show and I was here last year, I went and did. I went and recorded at the Nashville NPR place, and it was very, very different than hanging out.
Does
with
this
you guys.
Have to do with regressive Southern culture? Explain, please.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's gonna be the rest of the hour now. But no, I'm excited about this to see what you guys have going on. I know you can't say too much about it, but afootballwebsite.com.
Correct.
And even if you weren't intending that to be a cool viral marketing campaign, it's a. You guys should have billboards up all over town just with that. Nothing else with no explanation?
Allegedly, there were some documents slipped into Southeastern Conference Media Days in Hoover this week.
Nice.
I don't know anything about that. People have asked me on Twitter. Allegedly, there's some documentation out there promoting afootballwebsite.com. So we thank the Southeastern Conference for their partnership.
And you can't comment on it one way or the other.
Of course not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plausible deniability.
August 1st, though.
August 1st.
So, SEC Media Days down in Hoover, and you've been to a ton of Nashville. We'll get SEC Media Days in 2021. I think this is such a non-story for the city of Nashville. I think it's great for media members that get to come to Nashville
Yes.
and have that surrounding. This is a nothing event, though, for college football fans to attend. I know that we've heard about Nashville is going to try to do something different with a fan fest and everything else, but Stephen, you've been there. In my opinion, it's a group of fans that gather in a lobby to try to get autographs. It's not like you can take part in media days. It's for the media. You have to have a credential to get in the rooms with everything else. Look, I'm all for any event Nashville can get, being a Middle Tennessean.
Right.
But I really don't care for the general fan out there that Media Days is coming to Nashville. Where do you fall on this?
Media Days is worthless in every capacity. It's worthless for actual fans. It's worthless for actual media. And let me tell you something. If those coaches were not contractually bound to be there, and then, by the way, next week they have to go to ESPN and do it all over again, which they really hate, they would not go in a heartbeat. There's absolutely no way those guys would go. So the whole event is nothing. Now, I will say this. As a homeowner, taxpayer, Nashvillian, obviously having an event in Nashville just beats the brakes off of the Birmingham suburbs.
Oh, yes.
It's terrible down there. But I will say, I mean, if they want to gussy it up and make money for the city, great. I mean, I feel like we have to adopt that mentality in our city where I didn't care about the draft. I didn't. But they did. They reinvented the draft.
It was unbelievable.
It was amazing.
That's the NFL draft also. Yeah. Like, that is a huge event. Now Nashville has set the standard for what every draft has to be from this point forward.
Right.
And David Reed has said this also. there comes a time where Nashville needs to say no to certain things also. We, for so long, have been the city that says, yes, bring it in. Tax breaks, we'll throw the best event, we'll throw the best party. But there does come a time where, okay, maybe, I don't know if enough is the right way to put it, but we have so many big things. I don't know. I don't want to get behind the propaganda machine that this is a huge deal for Nashville.
It's not.
I'm all for a bunch of media members coming in and spending a lot of money for the city. It's fine. It's great.
I'll have a cookout
at my
house.
I'm just not going to come on here and talk about how this is some big deal.
No, which is exactly what the SEC wants everybody to do. They want to turn it into a draft-like atmosphere. And for you think about how little actual news happens at the NFL draft. It's just the process of people being selected to sign contracts for football teams, right? There's no physical action that makes up that entire event, and yet we turned it into 4 days and it gets massive television ratings and it's on primetime. I don't know how you could even replicate that little bit of actual news that happens at the draft at media days, because as you and I know, I think I've been to like 12 SEC media, I don't know, a lot. I quit going, honestly. I'll go to a couple next week in different conferences where I can actually talk to coaches, which is a revolutionary concept, not have them get up on a podium and say nothing. I think honestly, the SEC should scrap the media part of it. If you want to do a big PR television event, do it. That's what Peter Burns at ESPN has been stumping for. Put it at night, put it in primetime on SEC Network. That's great. I mean, ESPN and the SEC are very obviously in bed together. Just make it a TV event. Don't make us schlub there and ask these inane, pointless questions, the talkabouts, right? And then fill the time with that. Just turn it into a television event. Turn it into a live talk show event and just cut us out of it. That'd be fine to me.
Well, and we see media going this way. And you have the benefit of relationship building. You've been at this for a while now.
Yeah, I'm old.
If you're old, I'm old too, unfortunately, and it's true for both of us. But the long-form interview.
Yeah.
You know, the sit-down, the deep dive, the journalism of sports media. You can do that. Not everyone can.
Right.
And at some point, by natural selection, I feel that's going to survive.
Yes.
And things like, and I brought this up in the first segment, a UAB beat writer asking Jeremy Pruitt in his very first question at SEC Media Days about the game in November against UAB, that's going to go away at some point. And it's going to be more of this. That's why when you see SEC Media Days, and we're cynical about this, but you don't see a real benefit for what you do there, because you want to get the coaches that want to sit down with you and actually have a conversation.
Yeah, I don't glean anything from it, but I will say that's all going away. The Southeastern Conference is going to continue to massage and manipulate the concept of having a relationship with the media, and then it's our job to have a relationship with the fans, right? They are going to continue to constrict and constrict and constrict with the access and the narrative to the point where it does not matter. And also, if you want an honest answer, and look, you're right. If you're a young beat writer and you're covering UAB and you want to get a single quote for a block of text, you can manage that in that little 60-minute podium session. Pretty much everything else is going to be obsolete. There's not much else you can do. And also, those jobs that you just talked about, like the person who's covering UAB, it's not going to exist in 5 years. It's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's going away. But I am curious because, and I agree with you, the SEC is going to continue to control more and more of this, and they want to have their own narrative out there. But will there eventually be blowback from fans for that?
Yes.
When it's all state-run media.
Yes.
And it's all this happy-go-lucky SEC network, everything is great, everyone is great type stuff.
But that's where you and I come in, and that's why our businesses are doing quite well. I'm going to be totally honest here on the air. And I love talking about this as a concept instead of saying, hey, who's going to start at running back? Because this is the reality that most fans don't know about, okay? Everyone gets really excited because they can see every college football game in the world on their phone. And I get that, right? There's a true luxury in access. What we have traded off is major partnership with media entities, ESPN, Fox, CBS, et cetera. And I don't begat anybody to have a job or work for one of these companies. I get it. My friends work there. I know a ton of people in Bristol. The reality is the moment we started siloing off these conference networks, we gave up a chunk, I think, of authority and authenticity in a large portion of the media. Because I've experienced this. Look, I've been blacklisted from Feinbaum because I wrote something critical about, you know, the commissioner's office in Birmingham. The reality is when you and I were coming up doing this job, Paul Feinbaum was the rogue, right? He was the guy. Yeah. He was the lightning rod. He was the catalyst for conversation that criticized things that the Southeastern Conference and the NCAA were doing.
Now he's the man.
He's house money now. and look, man, Paul, get that check. I'm not pocket watching. But the reality is, this is why you go to afootballwebsite.com, which I think right now actually redirects you to a condensed version of a bowl game between Pitt and Oregon State.
I saw that.
So that changes every day. There's a long-running joke there. If you just keep going, the joke changes every day. You know what? Here's the good news. They can suck that up into a billion-dollar enterprise, and that's awesome. But the bottom line is, I have friends who work at the SEC Network. I don't watch it. I don't need to, because I don't need to hear the PR for it. This is why we exist. Now, to get back to your original point, I don't think I can tell any truth in Hoover, so I don't go.
Well, and we go there for games. Yeah. Going back to the financial relationship between leagues, between the networks that cover them, we're really going there for games and not necessarily analysis. We go to a footballwebsite.com or 104.5 The Zone or various podcasts on 104.5 The Zone or with a footballwebsite.com. That's where you go for analysis. But let's keep talking about this when we come back, because we've opened the door here to a lot of different things in college football, specifically the SEC. We will talk big, broad brush topics with different programs also. I don't want to get too much in the weeds.
We will talk football at some point.
Yes, we will. Since we have Stephen Godfrey in with afootballwebsite.com, we promise we will talk football, but I want to get more into themes of programs from the head coach on down and sort of the direction of different programs in the SEC and the coverage of those programs. We'll discuss that and more when we come back. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in.
At work or in the car, Nashville's number one way to talk sports. The Sports Station, 104.5 The Zone.
The Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. I'm Chad Withrow. David Reed is our producer. Stephen Godfrey in studio talking some college football, talking big themes within college football media, a lot of things we're going to get into over the course of the next hour. Jake Evans is our production assistant. Jake has a British Open leaderboard update for us from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Jake, what is the latest?
Well, in the last few minutes since we last got on, Brooks Koepka, he snuck up in the leaderboard there. He's tied Shane Lowry at 4-under for the lead. After that, we got a big tie for second place at 3-under. After that, a lot of guys sitting at 2. We've got Tiger Woods sitting at 4-over through 7. He has struggled here after making a birdie a few holes ago. He's kind of gone down the tube, hitting the ball all over the place. And then after that, we got Dustin Johnson, Brant Snedeker sitting at 1-over. There's a long list of guys sitting at even and 1-over. After that, the field gets pretty crowded.
You know why you can trust that information, Chad? Baby Blue Ole Miss.
That's right. That's right.
You got your golf gear on, brother.
I'm outnumbered in the studio now. It's got one Tennessee grad and two Ole Miss grads in here.
Well, they love me down there.
Thank you so much, Jake. Jake Evans, our production assistant, Stephen Godfrey in studio. So we were talking about SEC coverage and media in the SEC and SEC Network and everything else. I think the actual game broadcast and what we can see on television on Saturdays or Thursday nights or whenever games are played, far better than it's ever been in our lifetime.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The actual games themselves are terrific, and all this money that's rolling in has really aided those games. But the opportunity cost of that is, Stephen, as we were talking, was the coverage now changes. You know, the ability to read someone like you or other people that's going to come at it from different angles, that kind of goes away a little bit. And it's funny to say that because with the internet, there's so many more possibilities for young writers out there or anyone producing any type of media. Yet because of the big money at stake with places like the SEC Network, I feel like the better the TV coverage, the worse the coverage everywhere else at times.
Well, they have to fill in those spots in between the games. I mean, that's where that coverage is born out of, is that you develop the SEC Network, the ACC Network, the Big Ten Network. Well, what do you do when they're not playing football games and basketball games? You've got to create some sort of material because it's a 24-hour, quote-unquote news station. That's where all this was born out of. It's really that simple. I don't necessarily think that they care one way or the other about these studio shows or, you know. And the other thing is this. I don't think people understand. you'll see it when the ACC network launches this fall, because you know exactly what's going to happen when we get to basketball time. When we do these basketball media days here in like 3 or 4 months, every single person is going to be talking about the NCAA and this whole looming other shoe is going to drop situation. Do you think the ACC network's going to dedicate a bunch of time to that?
Because no.
NC State just got popped? No, they can't. They actually can't. And it's not like the people that work at these outlets don't want to talk about it. We were just talking off air about our friends that work at the various conference networks who they're well aware of what's going on. But the bottom line is, I'll give you a great example, Chad. Let's say things, and I'm not wishing death upon anybody. Let's say things go real sideways off the field at Tennessee this year. Okay? Do you think the SEC network's going to talk about that? Did the SEC network talk about anything to do with the NCAA investigation with Ole Miss and Mississippi State?
No.
Has the SEC network said anything about the fact that the NCAA is at LSU right now? No.
No.
Not going to.
And I think here's the problem with that. And maybe this is just me psychologically, and everyone else is completely different. But I think the more you go out of your way to try to be liked by everyone, you're really liked by no one. In the end.
Absolutely.
I think when it's all just, we're going to, you know, turn our nose up at this and not discuss this, and it's going to be nothing but happy talk, that's fine because no one really objects to you, but also no one really loves you or
sure.
loves your coverage.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of where we are right now with the SEC network, and in a lot of ways ESPN with their broadcast partners as well. I don't know if I like that direction. But I will say again, and Dawn Davenport on 3HL, she's on SEC Network doing games. The games are great. When you tune in to watch games on these networks, they've never been better. But to me, it's everything else that kind of slides back.
Yeah, that Saturday night, the main ABC game, I interviewed their truck directors a couple years ago just because of the sheer production value they were putting into the pregame and then the player intros. It was one of the Clemson home games, and they had essentially the same camera equipment that you would use on a Hollywood film, tracking the guys as they come down the hill from Howard's Rock. And it's amazing, and you feel it, and it's so visceral, and I think it represents the sport so well. And, you know, I got into a huge argument when I was writing a story about Reese Davis taking over for Chris Fowler on game day, right? Which to me was like a Walter Cronkite retires type moment, because that show, game day, is so important. And I'm critical of so much about ESPN specifically, but that show is sort of like the way the evening news was.
It is the 60 minutes of college football for
right.
college football fans. And it is the show.
And if there's a guy named Lee Fitting, he's kind of like the mastermind behind the scenes. You may have heard his name once or twice if you're a hardcore kind of sports nerd. He's sort of the guy who controls it all behind the scenes. And I got into an argument with him because I said, well, look, you guys sort of decide the future of the sport in many small ways every week. And he said, well, what do you mean? We're here just to reflect. I said, no, you're not. You're not. You can't. You automatically give credence to a game by just going there, right? And for years, people said, well, they won't go to a game. It's on Fox or it's on CBS or whatever. And then they started doing that, which they should. But when Lane Kiffin gets fired on the tarmac after the Arizona State game, and he shows up the next week when they're in Seattle for the Washington game, he talks for the first time. He influences the narrative around his career. They have that kind of power. They can put the focus on whatever they want to, and more importantly,
they can be the kingmaker.
And more importantly, they can ignore, because the power to ignore a story is actually, to me, more potent now in 2019 than it is to shine light, because there's so many lights out there.
Well, and a lot of SEC fans will do this, and I understand it. When one program gets an amazing amount of coverage versus another program, and Alabama is the classic example. And look, Nick Saban is the greatest of all time, possibly, and they're an amazing program. We all understand why media outlets cover Alabama, and they've got an enormous fan base. But when ESPN goes out of their way to have a 10-part reality series around Alabama football, that's an amazing chip for Alabama football. And that is an example of the rich getting richer. So I do understand the rest of the conference when they say, hey, the conference is a partner with ESPN.
Right.
This is a disadvantage you're putting us at. When Kirk Herbstreit spends 15 minutes, and look, this is all produced. I'm not saying Kirk Herbstreit's wrong here, but if you spend 15 minutes talking up one program, and here's an example of what I'm seeing now. Scott Frost in Nebraska. Scott Frost is becoming the media darling.
Yes.
Everyone wants to say, hey, Nebraska can't get back because of their geographic location. But if you continue to get that level of coverage, eventually the tide's going to turn for you. No pun intended, talking about Alabama.
It's so strange that Scott Frost has become a media darling. Because I'll say this on the radio. He's got the, how do I say this on the radio? He's got the personality of a cactus. Okay? Yeah. That's how I keep it PG for you.
Well,
I,
so
I
did Tom Osborne.
I'm not here to get fined.
In a lot of ways, right?
But, well, I mean, but that, it's a religion in Nebraska. They don't care. They don't.
Stoicism is a religion. I mean, they love that.
Yeah, it's a pagan religion. They don't care if it's an evil Norse god there, and that's what they've got now, and even looks like one too. the funny thing about this is, I came in here and I was like, well, what are we going to talk about? What has actually happened in Media Days week that is actually newsworthy? This Big 12 thing is hilarious.
Terrible questions. Like, that's what we've played on our show, a collection of terrible questions. That's been the story.
But this Big 12 announcement that they kind of sashayed out there and then got rid of real quick when people started asking specific questions is, okay, we've got this thing called Big 12 Now. It's not a network. It's hidden behind ESPN Plus. And not all the schools, like, we got like 8 teams, but not like the good teams. They'll be here in a couple years. And, like, you got to pay for it, and it's next to the American Athletic Conference and CUSA and everything. All of this exists, this giant problem, because of one thing, the Longhorn Network, right? That was ESPN. ESPN struck a deal with a school to make a 24/7 network about a school and broke the conference's ability to package their third-tier rights and make a conference network. The result of this, if you're getting cross-eyed in your car listening to this right now, is that the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten are making every year $50 million a school, $60 million a school, $70 million a school. Big 12? 30, 34, 36. Here's the difference. The Big 12 is actually getting closer to the American Athletic Conference than they are to the Big 10 and the SEC. Eventually, that's going to be a problem. And what did the Big 12 say this week? We're good. No new members. We're going to be fine. If I had to pick somebody to die in the next round of realignment, they're terminal.
615-737-1045. A lot to digest with that. We'll continue talking about college football media when we come back. We'll talk college football programs as well. I keep saying that, but we keep going into different areas here that fascinates me in terms of where we are now, what the future could hold for how we watch college football, how we read about college football. Stephen Godfrey in studio with us. His new website, can't really tell you much about it. It's a viral sensation.
Football website.
That's what I can tell you. Yeah, it's a viral hit, that's for sure. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. Chad Withrow in studio. Stephen Godfrey, a footballwebsite.com, launching August 1st. If you go there now, you're going to see an Oregon State Pitt game. Is that right?
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Sure, I noticed that this morning, yeah.
Yep.
We're going to allow everyone out there to try to figure out this puzzle. That's what we're going to do today.
And if you figure it out, let me know too.
We are trying to figure out the puzzle of college football for the upcoming season. So SEC Network, they're obviously airing everything with SEC Media Days this week. Jeremy Pruitt's on the podium, Stephen, this week, and below is a caption. You know, they have different things. Tennessee, 5-7 a year ago, and every team that's up there, they have little tidbits.
Yeah.
For Jeremy Pruitt, underneath on the screen, I'm in studio and I see this, so I know it wasn't just to someone manipulating this. It says, learned about asparagus for the first time in 2006, or something along those lines, which is very, very funny. But going with our conversation from earlier, I doubt everyone at Tennessee found it as funny as SEC Network.
Right.
And I don't know if they did this with every coach, had some sort of shot at them that's also funny on the screen. But I'm willing to bet if they didn't, Tennessee's going to have a talk with SEC and the SEC Network, and that's going to change. And now Tennessee's probably going to be thrown a bone at some point from the SEC Network with something. I don't know that I like that either. That power of response from a team when they're upset with something coverage-wise.
No, I think it's a little ridiculous. But the problem, I think there's a couple problems here. One, that the SEC feels that they have total authority over this one ESPN outlet, which they do. I've been on the receiving end of it before, and it is not fun because they will if you're
talking about from the SEC Network or
from the SEC Network via the athletic directors. They convene every so often to talk about coverage on the network. By the way, if you ask the ESPN this, they'll deny it. But I can tell you as a reporter, this is how it happens.
You're saying the athletic directors will get together.
The athletic directors, when they meet, like at Destin, right? They meet every spring in Destin, and they will talk about specific gripes, issues, or direction that they have. But the thing about the SEC Network, if you boil it down, the only places that you're going to get controversy is pretty much Feinbaum now, right? They've boiled off.
Lane Kiffin needs to blow it up. You know, right. And it was still two of the 3 years before were very good.
Right.
But because what came before that was so good for Tennessee, the thought was they got to blow this thing up and they're under construction, which really probably wasn't the case. They just needed to fine-tune a few things. Lane Kiffin comes in, blows it up, and then Tennessee's been in a constant rebuild, blow-up type mode now. And now here we are with Jeremy Pruitt in year two of a rebuild once again.
I'm going to be honest with you, and Tennessee fans don't like to hear this. When you're on this many tries, it's not the coach. Okay, did Butch do a litany of things wrong? Yes, and I think even Butch would admit that. But I'm going to tell you something. In 2020, Butch Jones is going to be a head coach again, probably in the Power Five. All right, I think Derek Dooley might coach again in college, which I never thought was going to happen because that guy culturally was the worst fit I may have ever seen in the SEC. Right, and he wasn't ready for that job. He wasn't right for that job. Tennessee wasn't planning on hiring him. That was a disaster. Right. But at a certain point, Tennessee had to look at itself. And I think that one of the reasons that things have been so quiet is they have given the entire apparatus whole hog over to Pruitt because of his bona fides, because of his credentials with Saban. They got that Saban guy they always wanted, right, where they've danced with those candidates before. And the fact that – I will say this about the asparagus joke. There's nothing to say about Jeremy Pruitt. Ask those beat writers. Call David Ubbin. Like, they don't talk. He doesn't want to get out there. They don't call people like me and say, hey, why don't you come spend 3 days with the program? And why don't you get to know Jeremy as a person? They don't do that. I mean, I know tons of people in Knoxville say, hey, yep, we're just kind of doing our thing right now. The problem is the context is that Tennessee fans are having to grit their teeth at another 2 to 3 to 4 year rebuild to get into the conversation of being a 9-10 win program that still believes it should be competing for national titles.
Well, and you said, you know, after so long, it's not just the coach. I agree with that. But I also don't know if I'm going to say it's just Tennessee can't be really good again as much as it's a combination.
Oh, they could be good.
President, athletic director, yes. Who's making the decisions to hire the coach.
Yes.
And you talked about handing it over whole hog to Jeremy Pruitt. That's Philip Fulmer doing that because Philip Fulmer knows as a former successful head coach – that's what good coaches need to succeed.
Yeah, and let me clarify.
They need to be told yes over and over again from administration, right?
Yeah.
And that's
– well, let me clarify.
So should that give Tennessee fans hope now that Philip Fulmer's in charge and he's saying yes to everything?
As long as he's saying yes and not doing things. As long as Philip Fulmer is the one making – as long as Philip Fulmer is the one that is enabling things to happen for this current staff – and not taking agency in football matters. I'm going to be real specific about that. But let me be super clear. I'm not one of these national people that thinks Tennessee should know its place. Because the bottom line is in Columbia, South Carolina right now, they're looking at Clemson saying, why aren't we doing that, right? Mississippi State pays over $4 million base salary a year in the poorest state in the United States to a football coach because they think they can win the West, all right? This is the SEC. Short of maybe that school down the road, everybody believes that they should be in the college football playoff. That's the connective tissue of this conference.
And that's the reality. Speaking of the school down the road, I want to ask you about Vanderbilt when we come back. If Philip Fulmer says yes to everything,
yeah,
the lack of yeses to Vanderbilt coaches in the past and how that shaped this program and how, honestly, and we can get into this, how that may have shaped Derek Mason's view of the university and the program also. And he said a few things in the media rounds that I took note of about Vanderbilt that I want to ask you about when we come back. And have we finally reached the point where Malcolm Turner truly is a change agent with that program? I don't know that we know yet, but we'll discuss that as well when we come back. It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Download. The Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. Chad Withrow in studio. David Reed, our producer. Jake Evans, our production assistant. Stephen Godfrey of footballwebsite.com. You can check it out starting August 1st, formerly of SB Nation, in studio with us, talking some college football. Coming up at noon, Brittany Winch, Avery Harder from Step One Learn Sports, one of the many fine podcasts in the 104.5 The Zone family, will join me in studio from noon to 2, a special guest co-host. So we finished the last segment, Stephen, talking a little bit about Vandy. We constantly hear this. If Vandy would do this, if they would do that, they have a chance to have something in football. And we've been saying that for 40 or 50 years.
Yes.
And it just never happens. I've heard Derek Mason make a number of media stops throughout the time there with SEC Media Days. He said something along the lines of, when asked about Malcolm Turner, well, this is year six for me, and this is the first time I've ever met with anyone in marketing. So take that for what it's worth. Talking about Malcolm Turner. Now, that's both an encouraging sign for Malcolm Turner and his people, and it's incredibly disheartening if you're a Vanderbilt fan when you hear that. Is there any sign of light at the end of the tunnel in terms of Vanderbilt doing what's necessary to not win SEC titles, because we're not even saying that's possible, but to be a football-relevant team year in and year out based on this market and based on that university?
Well, let me say it was possible for like a year and a half, right, when Franklin had that window. Because you had bad Florida, you had bad Georgia.
He did beat Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee in the same year. So there's your East that he didn't win that year, but you could have.
There's your Haley's Comet, right?
Yeah.
You probably go and get dragged by Bama or whatever. But yeah, you win the division at Vanderbilt, right? That's monumental. I don't know if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but I'll say this. Like, because I live over near Vanderbilt, and I've been around Vanderbilt now for 13 years, and I just always look and I think, like, why not? Why is it always not coming together? I don't understand this at all. I spent a lot of time with Franklin and his staff when they were there. A lot of those assistants have gone on to big jobs. Bob Shoops, the defensive coordinator at Mississippi State right now, had the best defense in the nation in advanced analytics last year. I know he had some trouble at Tennessee, obviously, but Herb Hand is helping call plays at Texas. Okay. That's just two guys, by the way. Josh Gattis.
Joe Moorhead now at Mississippi State.
Josh Gattis, offensive coordinator at Michigan. He was here, right? So, like, really, really, really good staff. Okay. Well, they went a different direction. I really like Derek Mason. I think it was a good hire. And I don't want to speak for that staff. I do think it's very obvious that staff needs help. That I think that program needs help. I don't understand why the university doesn't get behind them in certain ways. And look, I don't want to get into the logistics and the zoning and the funding particulars on a stadium. But how about this? Until you do figure out the final solution, the bigger picture of building a new stadium or a 50-year solution for Vanderbilt, why don't you do maybe, I don't know, 50 grand worth of renovations in that place? It is a joke.
To me, their idea of getting behind their football coach is, we will pay you good money and we won't fire you. Now we're behind you. We're not going to give you anything else. And that's not enough.
That's not how it works, man.
It's not how it works. But don't you agree that that's sort of...
You're recruiting against schools that have holograms.
You got to do a lot. Derek Mason has done some really nice things. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't have a job or anything like that. But he hasn't had a winning season in his time there. But he's beaten Tennessee 3 years in a row. So that's good enough for Vandy.
Oh, absolutely.
But to them, it's... This is a job where you can be here a long time. And we're not going to fire coaches that often. And we're going to pay you well, but everything else, well, we're just going to kind of wait and see to see what we're going to do in terms of building the program financially.
And yet, Mace was a sought-after guy in the last cycle.
Do you think that he goes to Colorado if he gets offered the job?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. I do believe that.
And that's staggering, because while I've always believed Colorado could be something, and I've been to Boulder, it's amazing, and you see that campus, and I've always thought, man, this school should be better in everything, I feel like. But leaving the SEC for Colorado should not be a slam dunk.
No.
Right?
It just makes no sense. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I know that you can't replicate the models of success based on other sports, but they've obviously had their hiccups in basketball. I'm not a basketball writer. You look at what Tim Corbin does there and how they've turned that into basically the premier program in college baseball, or up there year in and year out, right?
Oh, it's the program right now.
There are ways to do this in football. And I'm not talking about under the table. I'm talking about legitimate ways to turn Vanderbilt into a better brand. If I have two sons, if one of them played college football or was eligible to get a scholarship to play Power 5 college football, I would want them to go to Vanderbilt. And I did not go to college there. No way I was getting into that joint. So it has that appeal naturally. It's in Nashville, Tennessee. There's a ton of money sitting all around this city. We know this. We talk about it all the time, the appeal of this place. Why are you not making more of an effort? You're in the Southeastern Conference. They are writing you a bigger check every year just off of television that you have to do nothing to earn. And yet, you go to the stadium, you look at the condition, and then you just compare it to Alabama would knock down like an elevator shaft and put up three more extra if one booster complained about a wait time. That's like half of a joke, but that's sort of an annotated anecdote from things I've heard before at other schools. I'm not saying you have to be Alabama. I know you're Vanderbilt, and man, you want to beat your chest about Vanderbilt, and I get that. There are so many ways to complement that educational institution with a better football program. And it's not, I'm not saying get rid of Derek Mason. I think he's a great coach. They've got some great coaches over there, man. Support the program. Get in and get serious, or don't do it at all.
Did Matt Luke save his job in the short term with the two coordinator hires he made this past offseason?
How short a term?
3 years.
Oh, no.
2 years.
I mean, you could have interim head coach.
Obviously, he's safe this year, but
you
did that buy him 2 years because of these coordinators?
No? I don't believe that he's safe, no. Okay. I mean, you've got interim head coach Rich Rodriguez. Also, real quick on the University of Mississippi, looking for a chancellor right now, looking for an athletic director right now. There's a good old boy trust that installed Matt Luke at the last minute. One of the major reasons that Ross Bjork, among many other reasons of malfeasance, that whole relationship fell apart. Ross Bjork's at Texas A&M. Ross Bjork had another coach hired. There was another head coach who's still in the Power Five right now that was coming to Oxford, Mississippi, and there was a consortium of people at Ole Miss that pushed for Matt Luke. I like Matt. He's a good guy. He's a really nice guy. I've talked to him known him for a long time.
Can you say who that coach was?
Not at the moment.
Can you give us a hint?
He's in the Power Five.
Power Five conference?
He's in Power Five.
Okay.
He's still at the job that he was trying to get out of and had a winning season last year. There you go.
Okay.
Matt Luke made a really smart move. He delegated. You remember Justin Fuente at one point at Memphis had 7 former head coaches on staff?
Yeah.
When he was a young guy. That's what Luke's trying to do. I mean, Matt Luke was a guy when he was the O-line coach for Hugh Freeze. He was interviewing for, like, you've got interim head coach Rich Rodriguez. Also, real quick on the University of Mississippi, looking for a chancellor right now, looking for an athletic director right now. There's a good old boy trust that installed Matt Luke at the last minute. One of the major reasons that Ross Bjork, among many other reasons of malfeasance, that whole relationship fell apart. Ross Bjork's at Texas A&M. Ross Bjork had another coach hired. There was another head coach who's still in the Power Five right now that was coming to Oxford, Mississippi. And there was a consortium of people at Ole Miss that pushed for Matt Luke. I like Matt. He's a good guy. He's a really nice guy. I've talked to him known him for a long time.
Can you say who that coach was?
Not at the moment.
Can you give us a hint?
He's in the Power Five.
Power Five conference?
He's in the Power Five.
Okay.
He's still at the job that he was trying to get out of. And had a winning season last year. There you go.
Okay.
Matt Luke made a really smart move. He delegated. You remember Justin Fuente at one point at Memphis had 7 former head coaches on staff?
Yeah.
When he was a young guy. That's what Luke's trying to do. I mean, Matt Luke was a guy when he was the O-line coach for Hugh Freeze. He was interviewing for like the Troy head coaching job before Neil Brown got that, right? That was the level that he was at. Obviously, he's thrust in just amazing circumstances into his dream job. And I'll give Matt Luke a lot of credit. He's working his butt off to earn the dream job that he was handed. Now, are they going to make it? I think Memphis could run them out of the stadium in week one. And then week two, by the way, they play Chad Morris in Arkansas. My thing with Mike McIntyre is I think he's a pretty good defensive coach. I think he was in some weird circumstances at Colorado. He also handled the whole coach sexual assault situation terribly, horribly, and is still not really recovered from that. But as a defensive coordinator, he's getting paid a lot of money. That's awesome. Are you playing linebacker or are you playing safety? Because that defense, just in terms of depth and talent, was trash last year. And what happens every time you see a team go under the knife with the NCAA, what happens? They say, hey, we're fine. We're going to make it through, right? We're going to get off probation. The rubber band effect of losing those scholarships a couple years ago is that your depth, specifically in the offensive and defensive line, linebacker, where you have big, fast bodies, that's going to start hurting now. And that schedule is unforgiving. I mean, they may lose to Cal at home. Cal's a really good football team.
Yeah, and the SEC West is always going to be unforgiving also.
Just, you know, your usual cakewalk.
Yeah. Stephen Godfrey has been our guest of footballwebsite.com, launching August 1st. Stephen, I know the podcast will continue also.
Yes, podcast Ain't Play Nobody as well as Shutdown Fullcast. You can check both of those out right now on your podcast delivery service of choice.
@38Godfrey on
Twitter.
Stephen, thanks so much, man. This
Thank
has been
you,
great.